Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Infinity Sports Network.
I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
Our next coach will be one that holds us accountable and one that makes sure that we're performing to our best, or you're not going to perform at all.
Amerks Farley's Mike Danger.
Seth Appert.
You're going to be a head coach.
That's right.
Gene Battaglia.
I'm vanilla, baby.
Boring. Complete domination from the Kings. They overwhelm the Warriors 118-94. They end Golden State's season.
Put a stake in the Warriors' dynasty.
Lakers win it.
Night two of the NBA's play-in tourney is about the East.
So you got Heat at Sixers tonight, the early game, and then you've got the Who Cares game.
Oh, who cares?
Let's go.
NBA has leveled a lifetime ban on Jonte Porter for gambling.
I am banning Mr. Porter
for life.
USA Basketball confirmed the men's Olympic roster for this summer this morning
in Paris.
Wee.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
WGR's Paul Hamilton joins us in about 20 minutes to talk some Buffalo Sabres during locker cleanout day. Search for a new head coach. We appreciate PJ Glasser, the host of BetQL's Send It In, for stopping by the Sports Bar last hour. If you missed it, you can catch it wherever you pod. Just search out the Sports Bar. That includes the free-to-download Odyssey app where the Fan Rochester sounds its best. We appreciate you checking us out locally here as well at 95.7 FM, AM 950. Or if you're watching along in the video stream on YouTube, our YouTube channel, The Fan Rochester, twitch.tv/TheFanRochester as well. Like and subscribe while you're there. And don't forget about your smart device either. Ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, and we will be there for you. It's time for some takes on tap. But first, I want to go back to the master spectator guide that you have there.
I'm holding this up on camera for everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. This is what everybody gets upon entering the gate. Danger, this isn't like your little scoring thing as you're perusing.
I hate being old. Grab my old man reader glasses so I can actually see what I'm looking at here. Wow, this is hefty. This has some heft to it.
Yeah,
several pages here. This isn't just like you have room for notes at the back. Why aren't you taking notes? Why aren't you taking some notes during the Masters? Who's taking notes? All right. So I mean, the middle fold. You've got the actual like map of the course. You've got various crosswalks throughout the course, patron photo locations, observation stands.
Which I don't quite understand patron photo stations, because I was going to get to this. Like, you're not allowed to bring in any camera.
Right.
Not that anybody brings the Kodak disposable anyways these days.
But. Several pages here of significant dates for the Masters. An Augusta National, several pages of spectator suggestions.
Here are some of the no list danger. Then we know about the no cell phone rule. Like, they're going to patch it down. You can't bring it in. But that goes for all electronics. So everything you cannot bring in, a laptop, anything else, no cameras, no strollers. No strollers.
Get your kids off the course.
Get out of here, children.
We want no crying kids, no toddlers. Get out of here with your stroller.
There's a line in there. You're going to come up to it. Running is considered to be unacceptable behavior.
We don't want your cardio here at the Masters.
You see this like at other majors, right? Hey, the leaders were done with 15. Then you see everybody run to get in position for the next one. There's so many people there, it doesn't even matter. But no, you're not running. And for that matter, did I see any running at Oak Hill? No, I did not. And the other one, no autographs. Which
lies.
There's probably a difference. If you're a kid asking for an autograph, the Master's not going to kick out a kid, but they may reserve the right to kick you out, Danger, for asking for an autograph.
I was
going to
say, I mean, like, if you watched any of the coverage, I saw this on Sunday after DeChambeau was done with his practice swings and you know, his time on the range. He's signing a flag for a kid. Like, good for Bryson DeChambeau. He probably needs that. That's good for his image. It's good for the sport. It's good for the game. Now, if it's a kid, I'm fine with it. If it's a grown-up, if it's Gene Battaglia saying, Bryson, sign my hat.
No.
That would be an example of poor behavior.
We go over this like every year with, like, you know, when you're at Bills camp. I just, the adults that want to muscle out the kids.
I mean, if you could say, I'm an adult and I'm doing it for my kid. I want to believe you, but unfortunately, I don't know that I believe you. I'm just going to assume that you're a collector or that you're a weirdo who idolizes these grown men and needs an autograph of them. You're a collector. That's what it is. Unless your kid is there with you, your kid goes up front, your kid gets the autograph. I'm fine with that. But they're saying you can't do that at the Masters. No autographs.
No autographs. Ben, thank you. Yeah, it's one of those events. It is the event. If you had to pick one, that's the one. And Danger, you and I, we like golf. It's not our favorite sport. Certainly NFL is, but that's the one after watching it for all these years, just to go watch that course.
I'm glad that they also printed this on recyclable paper. I don't think anybody's throwing this out. If you go, this is a piece of memorabilia. You're keeping the spectator guide, aren't you?
You are.
Yeah, but it's recyclable in case you do want to chuck it, make sure it goes in the right bin. Masters doing their part.
I got to make sure I get that back to Ben.
Yeah, here.
I'm not.
I don't want any response.
Oh, no. And the other thing, too, is I'm going to, like, really bundle this up because I don't know if you knew this or not. For anybody that is watching online, it is not only raining, it's coming down pretty good. So I got to make sure the water gets on.
Time for some takes on tap before we get to Paul Hamilton.
So Yankees are up in Toronto. And as you know, and we didn't get to get I meant to get this yesterday, but with the Granato firing, did not. Michael Kay brings up a good point regarding the retirement of Yankees voice, John Sterling. By the way, sidebar, we have made the executive decision. John Sterling is still on this planet. As long as John Sterling is breathing and still interacting with us, this sounder stays.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
After that happened to him last year, like, wouldn't you thought, like, that might have been the time? Like, yeah, you know what? I can't even see this ball coming right at me. The news of Sterling's retirement should not be a surprise to anyone, but this is Kay's point. Why not one last game? One last goodbye for the fans. Ball game over. Yeah, career over. Yankees win. Yeah. Like, the abrupt nature of this, Danger, I just hope doesn't have anything to do with health. No, nobody's saying it. He's 85. I guess, you know, you take it by day by that point. Another take from this too, Danger, and we make these decisions together in the sports bar, as we mentioned. Yeah, that is sticking here. Don't ever, ever go away from that sound.
Why not one more game? Maybe this is why.
Pitch, 1-2. Swung on, in the air to right. Back goes Stanton on the track, at the wall, leaping, and she is gone. It is a home run.
No.
They're all waiting. Why are they waiting?
Because Stanton caught the ball.
Oh, coming off the field is Chapman. Stanton never threw the ball back in. Oh, Stanton just robbed Chapman of a home run. Wow. What a play by Stanton.
God bless him.
There's so many things about that that are underrated. One, Susan Wallman kind of hangs him, doesn't she? She's like, because Stanton caught the ball. Like, well, he could have just been like,
she tried. I think she tried. You could, if you listen carefully, you can hear her say, no, no, sheepishly say, no. Like, no. Like he didn't hit the home run. He caught it. Stanton got, and then I think when he didn't get the hint or he didn't hear her say, no. You know, that's what she said, because he caught the ball.
And then the ending, like, wow, what a play. Like, I really have to pick it up and try to cover my tracks there. Whoa, what a play.
Yeah. No, it's, he's a legend, but maybe that's why not one more game, because you never know. He could just completely botch the entire calling of the game. He's a pro's pro, and he's done it for a very, very long time. But why not one more game? I don't know. Maybe
now somebody threw something on the field, and the Indians are all running out to right center, and the Yankees are too. I mean, that ruins what would be a great Yankee comeback, and the Yankees have run out there and telling the fans, stop throwing things.
And throwing baseballs.
I think that's disgraceful. That's disgraceful. That's not Yankee Stadium. Those aren't Yankee fans. Hooligans.
Hooligans? What?
Pitch, 1-2. Swung on in the air to right. Back goes Stanton on the track at the wall, leaping, and she is gone. It is a home run.
No. No.
They're all waiting. Why are they waiting?
What's going on?
Because Stanton caught the ball.
Oh, that coming off the field is Chapman. Stanton never threw the ball back in. Oh, Stanton just robbed Chapman of a home run. Wow.
Wow.
What a play by Stanton.
Really wasn't that close, though.
What was our one conversation that we had with John Sterling? He came on the show with us one time.
One time we had him on because he was doing a podcast on the Odyssey Network and called him up off air. Like, Mr. Sterling, hi, this is Gene Battaglia in Rochester. I love Rochester. He's going into all these things and talking about all these old radio people.
He's delightful.
Yeah, he's delightful. And you know, Mr. Sterling, right now, young man, I'm at the hairdresser. So you're going to have to speak up.
I'm at the hairdresser. What man calls it the hairdresser?
What woman for that matter?
The
hairdresser.
You go to the salon.
Well, you're throwing all these times. Just call me. Call me. I will pick up. You know, like, all you producers are the same. Thank you. Have a good day. And he couldn't have been more delightful with us on the air.
At the hairdresser getting done up.
It was surprising because you get somebody's phone number. Usually they have an assistant. Usually you're kind of working with somebody. Hello.
You go.
Oh my gosh. It's actually John Sterling.
You have his number.
I do.
Yeah. We're not going to abuse it. No, this isn't.
No.
I mean, if this was like, if we were doing radio in like the 80s or 90s, we would be like, oh, let's prank Sterling. Let's have some fun. We can't do that anymore.
Do you know this story from college?
You have a college story.
Well, our station at Fordham, I got to host a sports call-in show. But because it was New York City, we had a lot of different guests. And I had the fortune, because back when it was Al Michaels still on the play-by-play, Dan Dierdorf was the color commentator. So Dan Dierdorf,
for Monday Night Football.
Dan Dierdorf was made available. So here I am as a college student on my show. Dan Dierdorf. This would be like having Troy Aikman, like it's the equivalent on Monday Night Football, the color commentator. We do the interview. I was probably terrible at it. And then it's over. Then, kids, here's a little story. You used to get a thing called a phone bill. I look at the phone bill for my own, you know, where I'm sharing with my buddies here.
Your dorm?
Wait a second. St. Louis, Missouri. Who called? It's Dan Dierdorf's phone. And my buddy Andy decided one night it'd be a great idea to prank Dan Dierdorf. So he called. He never told you the story?
I think you have shared this one
so,
once.
So, okay, yeah. Like, so Dan Dierdorf picks up on the other side. All right. Hello?
Yes, yes. I would like to speak to Mr. Fatass, please.
What?
Yes, is this Mr. Fatass? Mr. Fatass, I watch you on Monday Night Football. Mr. Fatass.
Oh, hangs up the phone.
Oh,
oh my gosh. So the whole time I'm thinking, my career is over. There's some audio somewhere.
Actually, the opposite. I mean, there are several radio shows rose to fame and prominence by calling celebrities Mr. Fatass. That's your roommate Andy is actually onto something. That was the way it was done.
Like landlines then later would get the, what was it, Star 16? You could call somebody back. Yeah. You didn't even have it at that point.
Yeah, no, so Costas was a target. I remember Costas being a real easy target. Like, you could call Costas at any point and he would just be sour. Just didn't want to talk. Didn't want to have any, just upset if you called Costas. But Deardorff was a good one. Mr. Fatass.
Yes, hello. I'm calling for Mr. Fatass. Is this Mr. Fatass? This is Saul. Saul Rosenberg.
Yeah, we missed our calling, Gino.
Yeah, I know.
If we did radio 30, 40 years earlier, who knows? This was something that got popped on ESPN today. I don't know if you saw the Bill Belichick piece. Why is Bill Belichick not a head coach in 2024? And I'm bringing it up because you and I have a wager. There's a box of wine. Up for grabs here.
I bet everybody on YouTube and Twitch, this is what I'll be doing there.
Gino is going to be funneling a bottle box if he wins the bet. Where I believe Bill Belichick will not coach in the NFL in 2025. Gino believes otherwise. Arthur Blank to Bill Belichick in this ESPN piece, asking why his assistants had failed elsewhere. Belichick's response was that he thought that they were all better soldiers than generals. So again, this is a guy in a leadership position who has kind of displayed that he's not the greatest leader of men. And the more I hear, see, and read about Belichick, the more I'm convinced that Brady deserves more credit in the New England dynasty than Bill Belichick. All of his failed assistants left the Pats to do it Belichick's way in their new jobs. Most of the time it ended with the pink slip. The fact is, Belichick's way, the Patriot way, it doesn't happen without Brady being exceptional. And if he doesn't luck into that first ring during his second season, he probably would have been let go just like all of his soldiers were. Bill Belichick is a bad example of what leadership in today's world is. And any owner with any sense of awareness knows you have to coach players differently because of how the world has changed, how these players came into it and came up in it. I'm not going to concede our bet, Gino. If there was an owner oblivious enough to think that Belichick can coach today's athlete, it's Jerry in Dallas.
Well, you and I disagree on this, and certainly Belichick, he's taking a year off. I think he's smart enough to know I've got to alter my style and maybe hire outside of my little circle when it comes to this. That is really the kind of the main thing, but there's one thing that you didn't kind of address there. He is the best defensive mind of our time. That is a fact. The Buffalo Bills never got a Super Bowl, not because of Bill Parcells, it's because Bill Belichick's defense. And you bring up Dallas, I'm going to point to the Giants. Like, that is a team that the fan base would be like, oh my God, come back in. The ownership would welcome him back in. Brian Daboll, hey, if you have a 6-11 season, I'm sorry. Then kind of say, look, Bill Belichick did something I think is not cool. If in fact he's behind this, there's another story today, and who knows where these stories come from, that it's sourced, but we don't know the source, that if Belichick is to come back, he's got his eye on three teams, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the New York Giants, which I would say currently those three teams have head coaches.
Correct.
So that is incredibly bad form if Bill Belichick is wanting to be known that he wants to coach in the NFC East next year. He does.
I think he's a bad guy. I think he's a me first guy. I think he's a narcissist. I don't think that he really knows how to manage or coach today's athlete. And I think his minions failing in every opportunity they got, trying to do it his way, are the best example of why, if he does come back, he's going to have to go beyond altering his style. He's almost like he needs a lobotomy, because I don't know that you can get that out of a guy who's done it his way as long as he's done it for as long as he's done it. And if it does end up being one of those three teams that you mentioned, it's going to end in spectacular fashion. It's going to fail. It's not going to work. Even in New York, it won't work with the Giants, because you can't coach players that way anymore. In New York, I think a lot would have to happen. I think you'd have to move on, not just from Daboll, but also from Joe Shane, which That feels like a pretty extreme move.
What
about
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. If Sirianni kind of, to me,
I can see Sirianni.
Fake it till you make it, guy.
I could see that change happening, but I want to give Howie Roseman enough credit to believe that he wouldn't just take the low hanging fruit there, that he would actually say, hey, why did Atlanta pass on him? Atlanta passed on him. Why? Now, we're going to be okay. Philadelphia has been, Roseman's been a smart enough GM. You know, the Sirianni era may end in failure. It may end in him losing his job as soon as the end of this season. But I don't think they're going to go to that well, that they're going to go to the Bills. For me, it's Jerry. It's Jerry being the guy who's so detached from reality
also,
that would just be like, oh, yeah, that guy, we bring him in here, and they have a relationship. We bring him in here, immediately we're credible again.
The part of this, too, is I'm going to point this out. It's not just true in football. It's true in every sense of the word. You hire the best candidate, but what helps is who you know and the relationships. Fact. Relationships matter, in particularly sports. Who does Bill Belichick have relationships outside of the Patriot organization?
I don't know that he's well-liked.
No. Like, why would any other owner be like, my God, that guy that we've had to kind of, we're going to carve our own path. You're talking about alpha males every GM, alpha males every owner. Yep. So that's going to be working against him, but I'm still going to win.
My Pinot Noir. It's the dark purple box.
I'm thinking maybe Case. You're running your mouth so much. I'm going to demand a case from you.
Demand a case.
Yeah, that'd be
You know what? You son of a bitch. This box wine thing is all your fault. I used to have standards. I used to say, you box wine. Get out of here with that box wine. You know how far I've fallen? I'm now sending in mail-in rebates for my box wine. I'm getting like my fourth box free. You buy three, you get your fourth free. What's wrong with me?
No, what's wrong with you is you're seeing the benefit. Great value on that. Again, let's taste, value, pitch clock.
I used to have standards, and then I started working with this guy.
Nobody knows the pitch clock. If you have a bottle sitting at home, my goodness, you've finished three quarters of that bottle. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me is now I'm finishing a whole box. I know you have more takes, Gino, but
we got Paul Hamilton coming up.
All right, so we'll talk to Paul Hamilton next. Locker cleanout day for the Buffalo Sabres and a head coaching search, a story all too familiar with this franchise who's now missed 13 consecutive postseason opportunities. Paul Hamilton covering the Sabres for WGR going to join us next in the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Hockey night tonight in the Flower City as the Amerks hosting Toronto. Win for Rochester, and they can be no worse than third in the North Division. That would avoid the play-in route. Head coach Seth Dappert says he's not concerned about that job opening up in Buffalo.
My full focus is on getting us ready to take care of a demanding week to play Toronto tonight and to get us ready for the playoffs.
Appert in the Sports Bar. Coverage will begin at the Fan at 7 o'clock tonight with Don Stevens and Andrew Mossbrooks. We'll talk some Sabres hockey. Paul Hamilton, WGR, joining us next here. The Rochester Red Wings game today suspended in the second inning because of the rain. The Wings leading 1-0 at the time. They'll pick it up as part of a 4 p.m. doubleheader tomorrow. On the Major League scoreboard, the Jays leading the Yankees 2-0 there in the fifth. Giants over the Marlies 3-1. Mets get a 9-1 win over the Pirates. Gene Battaglin, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams, yesterday, press conference. The removal of Don Granato as the head coach and the removal of equipment from this team's lockers. Locker cleanout day today. Paul Hamilton from WGR covering the Sabres joining us now in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. It felt like the word that was prevalent today and yesterday, Paul, was accountability. Was Don Granato too soft on his team while coaching it?
Yeah, and we've been talking about that for a while, and you know, it just seems like they were just craving accountability and structure that they weren't getting. You know, listening to players, I just wrote an article about Tage Thompson, who was extremely honest. And, you know, he said for him, accountability means consequences. And when you're not doing the right things on the ice, there needs to be repercussions, whether it's being benched or headed to the press box when you're not playing winning hockey. And that's just part of what he talked about. Maybe we'll get into more later. But, you know, that was, you know, I heard something similar from Alex Tuch that, you know, they're just looking for that type of there. And we felt that way all along. Don Granato felt that he didn't want to get on players who made mistakes because then they'd be afraid to you know, play freely and they'd be afraid of making mistakes. So things would just be let go. Of course, they talk about it, let them know about it. But when you're committing the same mistake over and over again, which they were, there has to be consequences for that. There never were, or there were never consequences for dumb penalties until we got down to maybe the last couple of months. Then all of a sudden I noticed there were some players maybe that were sitting the bench for a period or two, or but nobody really got taken out of the lineup all that much for poor play. And Thompson said, even him, you know, he said, if I make a mistake, it costs our team games. And, you know, he goes, the same needs to go for me too. And he just, you know, they talked a lot about that there was just no accountability for poor play. And he goes, he said, we got away with way too much.
So hearing that from the GM yesterday, from the players today, and you know, the fan base is obviously frustrated, and this, none of this is going to make them feel any better about the future until they actually hire somebody who potentially can hold them accountable. I'm just curious, Paul, when does personal accountability enter the conversation for a lot of these players? And some of these players who've been in the league now long enough to know, hey, I've got to hold myself to a higher standard as well. Are any of these guys holding themselves accountable?
Well, he talked about that later on too, that holding each other accountable, that, you know, he said that, look at, you know, we're very, very close in here, and that's all fine. And that's great. He goes, you don't find that in a lot of locker rooms, but, you know, he also said that they can't be afraid just because they're good, very good friends to hold each other accountable. You know, he goes, I think we sit here and we're worried about hurting each other's feelings. And he said, it comes from a place of love is the way he put it. And he said, you know, we have to let a player know that we know you have better to give. We know you're better than this. And he said, they can't be afraid to tell each other that, And it seems like there wasn't a lot of that either. They were kind of afraid to call each other out. And he goes, that has to stop. He goes, we need, if somebody's not playing well, it has to come from the top. It has to come from the coach, and it has to come from the players in the locker room. It can't just be one or the other, or, you know, things like that. You know, it's yeah, they have those tight bonds, but, you know, he says they have to have that underlying belief that they want each other to be better. They want each other to succeed. So if they see it, they've got to call it out.
Paul, the easy woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of angle here is, why didn't this move happen earlier in the season there? I mean, was Kevin Adams really thinking that this team would actually snap out of it and go on a run there in March and April?
Yeah, and he admitted that some, you know, he's very patient, and he goes, he thought, you know, they got really close right before those two games against Detroit, and he said he wanted to give them every opportunity to break through. But it just, again, this is not a mentally tough team, and every time they got close, they would crumble. I mean, think of, you know, those two games against Detroit. The first game they go into Detroit, the Red Wings are on a 7-game losing streak, and the Red Wings win 4-1. The second game, the Red Wings have lost 5 out of 6 games, and the Red Wings win again. You know, and you know, so you're catching the team at the right time. Almost every other team is beating them except you. Now, they did beat them at home 7-2. They caught the Red Wings coming back from a West Coast trip, and they looked exhausted, and Buffalo took advantage of that and waxed them here in Buffalo. But those were two very important games where they could have pulled to within, 3 points, something like that, in the playoff race, and they didn't do it. They just would come up small every time, and it just seems like this team can play when there's no pressure. Look at the 3 games they played after they were eliminated. Pretty good games.
Yeah.
Threw 2-0-1, played pretty well, went into Florida, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, took them to overtime, and, you know, finally got a team to overtime, which is another key thing to talk about. But, you know, got a point against a very good team in a very tough building, something they didn't do enough of this year. And the New York Islanders got the loser point, what was it, 15 or 16 times. Yeah. The Buffalo Sabres got it 6 times. Well, there you go. Flip that stat.
Yeah.
And what different conversation are we having?
Paul, as soon as word came out that Don Granato was being let go, of course, everybody has a list. And I think what makes this year different, it feels like there is a list of very credible names, very coaches with long resumes, with winning resumes. And what might be different, and I do believe what Kevin Adams said yesterday, that this might be a more attractive job than it was the last time it was open. You kind of know what you have. You know that you have a lot of young talent to work with on this team. And we wanted to also ask, because it was the first thing that came to my mind, and proximity is a part of it, you know, where is Seth Appert in all of this in terms of the coaching search? It seemed like Kevin Adams made it pretty clear he wants a guy with NHL experience. And furthermore, it feels like Lindy Ruff is number one on this list, does it not?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would be considered, but you know, you got Craig Berube, who's won a Stanley Cup. You know, he's sitting out there. You know, he led the St. Louis Blues. He's also led the Philadelphia Flyers. So, I would almost think of him before I would think of Lindy Ruff. But Lindy Ruff could be in contention. Kevin Adams was on his staff as an assistant coach for a year. So, you know, he knows Lindy Ruff very well. I'm not a real fan of this thing in Buffalo that we keep doing, that all we want to do is bring back old Sabres.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how many players or coaches at Buffalo Sabres have won a Stanley Cup, but yet we want to keep bringing them all back. You know, we want to bring Miller back, you know, when he was near the end of his career. We want to bring everybody back. What about Vanek? Let's bring him back. And, you know, the whole thing. And it's just, maybe we could also try something new, you know, and maybe bring in a guy to coach who's won a Stanley Cup. Now, they did that once with Bielsma. It didn't work. You know, he had won a Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That didn't work. So it doesn't necessarily have to work if you do that. And I'm not saying Lindy Ruff is not a candidate at all, and he could be the next coach. But if we're going to talk about former Sabres, I would go with Michael Becca long before I would go with Lindy Ruff right now, who's an assistant coach with the New York Rangers and, of course, was an assistant coach there. I felt very strongly that had the Sabres fired Don Granato during the season, there was no question in my mind that Seth Appert would be the next coach in mid-season. If they would have done it mid-season, I think Seth Appert would have been called upon immediately to come up and be the coach. Now it doesn't appear like he's in the running, since Kevin Adams made it very, very clear that he is looking for somebody with NHL experience. Seth Appert doesn't have that, but I have to tell you, I've been very, very impressed with Seth Appert as a development coach in Rochester. I'm about ready to cover the Amherst for the third straight year in the playoffs. Look what he did with that team last year. Syracuse, by far, looked like one of the best teams other than Hershey in the conference. And then Syracuse takes a 2-0 lead in the series, a best of five. Rochester comes home, plays two very exciting games, wins both games, and then walks into Syracuse for game five and wins that one. I believe it was overtime, if I'm not mistaken, that they won that game. I was extremely impressed with how he was able to help that team get up off the mat. And, being down to a team like Syracuse, 2-0, and win the series. And by the time they were done, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I think Seth Appert has done a very good job as Rochester Americans coach.
Yeah, it feels like for us longtime Rochesterians, history might be repeating itself because, you had Mike Keane in, but Scotty Bowman wasn't going to bring him up. Let me go somewhere else, wins a cup. You had John Tortorella, wasn't afforded that opportunity, wins a cup later with Tampa. I'm just wondering, and again, we don't know how many vacancies there are going to be, but should we expect Seth Appert to actually get interviews outside of the Sabres organization here?
Yeah, why wouldn't he? I mean, he's been very successful. I mean, look at what happened in Tampa Bay. John Cooper was the coach in the American Hockey League, came up and won 2 Stanley Cups for the Tampa Bay Lightning and is still their head coach. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think definitely, yes, he deserved to be interviewed.
Paul, aside from getting the head coach in here, I mean, when you look at this roster, you look how it's built, and you kind of look ahead to what this off season could look like for whoever the new head coach is and for GM Kevin Adams, where are the needs? Where are the biggest, we heard Kevin yesterday talk a little bit about getting guys with maybe some, he didn't use the word grit, but I'm using the word grit, some bottom six guys that can maybe make life a little bit harder for opponents when they come to KeyBank.
Absolutely. That was a question I asked. You need to be harder to play against. And there's no question they need to be harder to play against. I mean, Zach Benson's 18 years old. He weighs about 140 pounds soaking wet, and he gets pile-drived into the wall head first in the last game of the year. Absolutely no response. Nobody even looked cross-eyed at the guy. Nobody went after the guy later. I mean, the guy got a penalty, and nobody went after him when he got out of the penalty box. What are you waiting for, guys? You're eliminated. You can't be in the playoffs. I don't care if everybody in the bench has to come off the bench and jump this guy, but you can't let that go unnoticed. And that went, other than the home, the last game at home where everybody showed up for once and they had that big brawl against Washington. Other than that, guys usually don't show up. They do on a rare occasion. That has to change. But I'm not talking about going out and getting a bunch of fighters. I'm talking about being hard to play against. And Kevin Adams, when I asked the question, said, we have to make this arena where teams come into this arena and they think to themselves, oh, I got to play against them. It's going to be a long night. Nobody thinks that when they play the Buffalo Sabres. They think it's going to be an easy night because they're not going to get body checked. They can do whatever they want. They can throw the Sabres all around the rink. There'll be nobody there to be in their face. And, to me, they basically have to get rid of the bottom six. I mean, they have to, you and I have talked about, both of you have talked with me about this before. They are not built correctly. They have, I mean, and you know how you start? you buy out Jeff Skinner. And I am not a big buyout guy. I'm really not. But I have just gotten to that point that you've got to get him off this team. He's killing him. He's 32 years old. I mean, his goals went down this year, and who knows, maybe he could, you know, have a rebirth. But at age 32, goal scorers tend to go down, you know, when that happens. It did this year. He went from 36 goals, I believe, down to 24, somewhere in that range. And it really, it would put him on the books for 6 years. But it's not as bad as you think it might be if you were to buy him out. I found it. Mm-hmm. You would basically have to write him a check, an actual check for $2.4 million per year. You would save $7 million through those 6 years. What we're talking about is the cap hit. Usually you get killed on that. You would get killed in the third year. It would be a $6.4 million cap hit in the third year. A 4.4 in the second year. The last 3 years, it would only be 2.4 on your salary cap. That's it. And the first year would only be 1.4. So it's not as bad as you might think it might be to do that, but they need the roster spot. They don't, it's a contract where, you know, it's a no movement. So even if you could talk a team into taking that on, let's say you trade Skinner in a second round pick for a seventh round pick, just so somebody else would take him in the salary. You can't do that because he has no movement. He's not going to go for that. So I just think it is time. I think they don't need players like that anymore. He's just a one trick pony. He kills them defensively. He had one of his worst seasons this year, you know, which tells me that he might be on decline. And I know it's going to keep him on the books for 6 years, but I just think that has to be. Now, I'm not anticipating them doing that, but I think if they have any guts, that's the first thing they do. And it opens up a roster spot for guys who are sitting there playing in Rochester who can't get up here.
Yeah. Kulik, amongst others, Paul Hamilton, our guest here. Paul, we began the conversation talking about the Sabres craving accountability. What would help not only with a new coach here, what about a new captain? This is vacant. I mean, you're around the team almost on a daily basis here. Is it Tuck? I've heard Dahlin. Do they have a guy that's ready to assume that role?
I don't think there's any question in my mind that Rasmus Dahlin is the next captain of this team. Now, I felt that way when Don Granato was the coach. Don Granato was a huge fan of Rasmus Dahlin. But I still don't really back off that, even though Don Granato's not here anymore. And Rasmus Dahlin wants the job. I've asked him, and he said, I'm ready. If they ask me, I'm ready to do it. And I have seen a different person in the last couple of years as far as, you know, a guy who, you know, is willing to speak up and willing to get upset and willing to call players out. You know, I've seen a leader blossom. 2 years ago, if you would have said that to me, I would have just said, no way. If you want to pick one of the younger players, pick Cousins. But Dylan Cousins gets himself kind of goofed up too out there. And I think right now he's not ready to become captain. He's got to get himself straightened out. You know, he takes things a little too hard and it affects his game. And I think he needs to get his game back, you know, before he would be ready to do that. So I don't know. I would be very surprised if the next captain wasn't Rasmus Dahlin.
Paul, what about the involvement of Terry Pegula? And we heard Kevin Adams defend Terry Pegula yesterday in the press conference. But we look at, you know, how the Sabres have spent the last four seasons with Kevin Adams as the GM. They basically haven't. I mean, they're the bottom four every year in terms of, you know, salary for their roster. And, you know, Adams saying, you know, we didn't like the terms here. We didn't like the terms there. We would have made more moves, but we didn't like those terms. I mean, you've got the room to navigate. What's holding them up? Is Terry Pegula as involved or too involved in what this roster looks like for the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, Kevin Adams is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to get young players, develop them, and pay them. And that's what he started to do. I mean, he doesn't have to get players anymore to reach the salary cap floor because he's paid Thompson. He's paid, or Tuck has already signed. He's paid Dahlin and Samuelson. But coming up soon, not this year, but next, you know, Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, I think they're going to be up for big contracts. I think they're going to put up numbers that would give them contracts. Bo Byram, I think, you know, who knows where he's going to wind up. And, you know, you've got Devin Levi and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Where do they wind up as far as contracts go? Owen Power, I forgot, too, has already gotten his deal. So that's what he has said, and that's what he has done. I didn't realize they were in the bottom four. I had not heard that they are in the bottom four in salaries this year. I would have thought if they were, they would have had to get contracts to get to the floor. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just had never heard that.
Yeah, it's spot track.
Yeah. But that's the plan that they had, because, you know, if you go out and spend money on player A, B, and C, now, all right, Quinn comes up. Sorry, Jack, we're going to trade you. We don't have any room to give you money because we just spent, you know, X amount of dollars on this 29-year-old and whatever. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do that. And maybe they got to maybe trade a guy like Paterka to get a 27-year-old really good hockey player that could really help this team. But to say that he's not going to spend money, that's the plan that Kevin Adams outlined from the start, and he has followed through with it. I mean, he's been perfectly willing to give and been criticized for giving Tage Thompson $7.1 million and Dylan Cousins $7.1 million and Samuelson, $4.28 million and Dahlin $11 million. And Power, $8.4 million. He's been criticized heavily for that. So he's almost in a spot right now where he can't win. He gets criticized when he does sign contracts, and he gets criticized when he doesn't.
Paul, last one for me. And you mentioned you're ready to come to Rochester. Your thoughts here on what's ahead here for the Amerks, because it was quite a fun run. My expectations are high, Paul. This team should, at the very least, get to where they were last year. And one of the things I'm excited about, where, yeah, we love Malcolm Subban, but, you know, you have Devin Levi here. I'm so fascinated to see how the young goaltender is going to perform.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And look where the Amerks were. You guys would probably know better than me. I don't think they were quite out of the playoffs yet when Levi got thrown in net. I think they were right on the cusp there, where they were almost out, but I don't know if they actually had gotten themselves where they were out of it. Now they were challenging for first place. They came right up the standings and were challenging for first place. And as you said in the sports update, could make it so that for sure don't have to play in that 4-5 game. So, you know, Levi jumping in net has really helped them. It seems like other guys, I would imagine Ryan Johnson is helping them. I know how well he played up here. So I would think that he's, you know, helping them on defense, you know, having him down there. Rusick's back, you know, so he will help out. You're not going to get Clegg back, but you did get Rusick back. And it sounds like a couple of the injured guys are starting to come back too. So I'm very much looking forward to it, to see, you know, what they're going to be able to accomplish in the playoffs and see those guys again, like Roseanne and Kulik, you know, watch them in the playoffs and you know, see some of the two young Russians who have come on as the season's gone on. And of course, Devin Levi in goal. I'm very much looking forward, as you are, to seeing him in net.
Now, we're looking forward to seeing you around the arena too, Paul. I mean, it'll be good to see you here covering the team, following along, and we can't wait to chop it up with you when we see you in person. Looking forward to hopefully a deep playoff run here for the Amherst.
All right, Paul, for us Rochesterians, have you ever enjoyed a plate before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've had them here and I've had them there.
All right, that's like, you know, if it's time, it times out right.
Well, yeah, of course. We don't have to initiate Paul. I mean, Paul's a legend. Like, he's, of course, he's had a garbage play before. He probably tell us where to go get the best play. Paul, appreciate the time as always. Know it's been a tricky couple of days here with the Buffalo Sabres. Feels like it's become routine, though, over the course of the last 10 plus years. And we appreciate your coverage as always. Thanks for making time for us.
No problem. We got one more day of players tomorrow, and then it's over.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Hamilton, WGR, joining us here in the Sports Bar to talk end of season for the Buffalo Sabres and start of the postseason for the Rochester Americans.
Yeah, it's it feels like the Amherst run last year was good. Is this roster better than it was last year?
Yes. Yes. I mean, the roster last year was dependent on Kulik and Rozane. The roster this year is dependent on Kulik and Rozane offensively. You've got an upgrade at goaltending.
You've got an upgrade in defense.
You got the same veteran leadership that you had last year. Yes, they are primed. If anything short of what they did last year, I think is a massive disappointment.
So if you're not paying attention, I don't blame you. Hershey over there, they're a monster. But that's it's possible. The path may be the same, meaning you get out of the north and then there's Hershey standing your way. I would welcome that. Bring it on.
Well, we're going to pay attention. I mean, we're going to be watching the scoreboard on, you know, the other division as well, just to see what that Eastern Conference final could look like this year. And maybe it is a repeat and a rematch of what we had last year with Hershey and Rochester. Great stuff from Paul Hamilton. As always, appreciate him stopping by. Check out his work at thefanrochester.com as he covers the Buffalo Sabres and now the Rochester Americans. Happy Hour is next in the Sports Bar. We've got a lifetime ban to discuss in the NBA, and we've got play-in tournament action, play-in round action tonight to discuss as well, a round of shots. And don't forget about Last Call before 6 o'clock. If you want to pull up a stool, join us now at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.